This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
In the WWE Championship, it was the lowest rated match of the night, according to four other sites.
What?
This
idiot.
Was...
idiots. They're stupid idiots.
It was a seventh-month buildup to Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton for the WWE title, and there was a lot of dark storylines with it. There was a lot of dark details. Some great detail, though. Sister Abigail, you know, being kind of making her presence known in the match at times. It was the lowest graded match of the night, the WWE Championship, Dave. Tell me what your thoughts on the match, please.
First off, when Bray comes out and the Fireflies come out throughout the crowd, and they have that ramp and they have the little Firefly lights as he's coming up the ramp, and then when Randy comes out, and that snake is on the ramp, just walking with him, just going back and forth. Perfect. 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 The match itself, when Bray Wyatt supposedly, you know, he does something and it puts on the ring itself, you see pictures of the maggots or the roaches.
Ah, yeah.
I imagine some of the people didn't like that.
You have to, though. You have to understand Bray Wyatt.
I loved it. I loved it. I thought that was the highlight of that match and Randy's reaction to that. I just wish they'd have brought a character out of Sister Abigail. Still want a Sister Abigail.
Which leads me to this question. It was a clean win for Randy Orton. Are you surprised?
Well, yeah, I kind of am, because Bray Wyatt sells lots of merchandise, and so does Randy. But I just think they could have, and Bray, I still think that Bray gets the short end of the stick sometimes.
We're going to get into that just a little bit.
So, congratulations to Randy. I like the match. I really did. Those four others that didn't like the match, stupid idiot. You just made Dave's list.
This is the only match that did not allow a counter to their finishing moves. Both wrestlers did have their finishing moves completed outside the ring.
Outside the ring.
In the end, Randy Orton wins, and he becomes a 13-time WWE Championship. And for Bray Wyatt, he is now what the Super Bowl is to the Buffalo Bills. Major pay-per-view match for Bray Wyatt ends up in another loss.
And that happens all the time to Bray for some reason. So
he cannot catch a break on the major pay-per-view big-time stage match.
So four other people that were kind of doing the thing.
Lowest graded match of the night.
Stupid
Unbelievable.
Idiots.
And I think because of the buildup, they felt like it should be a better match. I felt like it was a great match in itself.
I loved it.
I give it a B.
I'm going to give it an A.
You're going to give it an A.
The A, not only for the match itself,
okay,
but the creativity of the entrances, the creativity of doing the maggots and the roaches in the ring, loved it. I just thought that was the crowd, you know, you could hear the crowd, especially when they're showing the maggots and the worms.
Yes.
You could see the girls going, oh, I'm going to toss my cookies. You know, I'm going to give it an A. It was right behind the tag team match for me as being the match of the night.
Where do you see Sister Abigail appearing again? I mean, we see short presence of her, but nothing appearance. I mean, do you see her again?
Which is really unfortunate,
by the way.
They had the opportunity to bring her in on WrestleMania. I don't think we'll have a Sister Abigail. I hope I'm wrong. Maybe on SmackDown Tuesday night, Bray gets out there and challenges Randy again, and they bring out a character of Sister Abigail. Maybe. But I don't think it's going to happen.
The Universal Championship featured two wrestlers who have had their own respective streaks in their own respective divisions. Goldberg had a 158 win streak in the WCW. Brock Lesnar had a 50-plus match winning streak at one point before he was defeated. Both wrestlers got themselves in the ring for the Universal title, a match that lasted a whopping 4 minutes and 47 seconds, but was a sexy, incredibly awesome, delicious car wreck. And you were rolling your eyes.
Say what?
4 minutes and 47 seconds of a car wreck is what this was. And when I say a car wreck, I mean, it was brutal. This was a physical, violent match. Yeah. Lesnar survived two spears
sexy?
And a jackhammer. Oh, yeah.
You sexy?
Okay, don't. Okay, just because you don't understand that word doesn't mean you have to criticize me for using it.
Well, thinking about that match only just makes me want to go to Jimmy John's. I mean, he had the cap on, and then there was Jimmy John's logo on the front and on his backside. But sexy? I
loved it.
I thought it was going to be more of a squash match.
Again?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Brock with the squash. At least they let Bill have highlights and Brock highlights. Even though it was relatively short, fun match because it was so physical. 10 German suplexes. Suplex City.
7 in a row.
Yeah.
7.
Three right at the beginning, oh. 7 in a row. And then they got Suplex City, and they all had Jimmy John's afterwards.
The crowd wanted Lesnar to win this match, and which was really surprising to me.
Yeah, after the Universal title win by Goldberg, the WWE Universe really wasn't into that. They started on the Hall of Fame. There was a segment where they showed Goldberg, and there were boos.
How about where Brock Lesnar leaped over a spear from Goldberg?
That was awesome.
Get up more. Yeah. Which resulted in Lesnar delivering an F5, getting the win in the Universal title to the light of the crowd. Another title change.
I'd like a number 14 with extra peppers or maybe tuna fish because it has the sprouts.
Okay. Okay.
But a better match than I thought it was going to be.
You grade it as what?
B plus.
I graded a B as well. Yep, I graded a B as well.
Of all the matches at WrestleMania, I even told people that was the one I wasn't looking forward to. And it was good. And then I got to give props to Paul Heyman, one of the best mic people.
He's incredible.
The setup to that when they did the video package before and it was like a fairy tale, that guy nailed it.
Yeah.
He nailed it like he was telling a fairy tale as well as any voice actor out there. He nailed it. Paul Heyman, my man, that's an A. That's an A-plus right there for Paul Heyman just for that.
When does he not get an A? I'm sorry, but mic work continues to just, when you don't think he could do it any better, he continues to just amaze you.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I'll tell you. Two, that I think the stupidest match of the night. Number one goes to John Cena and that tag team debacle. And number two, Goldberg and Brock Lesnar.
It was better than I was expecting, but I was not expecting very much out of that match.
It was a glorified squash match.
Yeah.
I mean, that was stupid. But did you hear, though, that Goldberg is glad to be done? He said he didn't have a very good time this last time going around. He was on a podcast a couple weeks ago, and he said that he didn't like his return to the WWE, didn't have fun.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons he left in the first place. You know? Hey. More power to him. He's
it was interesting.
Always a Goldberg fan.
It was interesting to hear some of his. I read the transcript of the pod. He talked on there about how he wore. You remember how he wore his coat the first few weeks back at Raw. Mm-hmm. He wore his coat because he says I don't lift weights anymore. He says I do cardio. I want to keep, you know, my heart healthy, and he says I just do a lot of cardio and I stay in shape and I cardio and aerobics and things like that. And he said, well, he says I was kind of embarrassed because he says I lost my physique, and he said so I had to get back into he says eating nothing but protein and packing on the protein and hitting the gym and lifting the weights and bulking up so that I could be ready for my match. And look like the Goldberg of old. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting because sometimes we forget about what kind of workout regimes and the you know, what we as fans expect. Because he probably could have come out and still had a pretty decent match and stuff. And
hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. He's...
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com. Because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No, no, no. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
That move on his feet, the stray cat. Is he ready? Let's go to the match, please.
I'd like to get old Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 and do a little work on you.
Take me, take me, take me, please!
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
All the fans here, it's just two guys rolling around in spandex together, so...
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Next up was the SmackDown Live Women's Championship, another chaotic brawl, which ends up Naomi winning in front of her hometown fans, but I believe who stole the show was Natalya.
I love Natty.
That double sharpshooter was sweet.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how they were able to lock that up. I don't know what it took to practice it, but that was really awesome.
Yeah, I love Natty. So congratulations.
To Naomi.
To Naomi. She was, it was Zane last night. He texted me. He says, why did they give the belt to Alexa Bliss? And it was because Naomi was actually injured. They didn't know whether she was going to be
able
to come back. Yeah,
she had to relinquish the title and then come back and win it in front of your hometown fans. Crowd enjoyed that one.
And Alexa Bliss, a young performer, very small, but really good on the mic. And I was glad to see her have some high spots. And it was a chaotic match. And Natty, I'm just a big fan of Natty. Way to go. But congratulations, Naomi. Feel the glow, baby. That dance when she's coming out, when she's coming that entrance, boom! I mean, I am an old man. I mean, I'm almost 60 years old. And she's dancing to...
Okay, calm down.
No, I'm not talking sexy or anything.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about how much I enjoyed it.
Okay.
The performance itself was so much better than those dancers they had with Pitbull and Flo Rida and what was Lunch Meat, whatever his name was. Let's go to Jimmy John's again. I get it.
You're hungry.
I do like Pitbull. I'm not a big Flo Rida fan, but I like Pitbull.
Yeah.
60-year-old man.
The final match of the night might have also released a sign to the final match for a legendary career. The Undertaker versus Roman Reigns in a no-holds-bar match. At 52 years old, Undertaker's still doing it. And an incredible streak where he started off at 21-0. He now ends his WrestleMania streak, or at least his record, at 23-2. A loss to Roman Reigns, which the crowd was not at all happy about, of course. They were very upset. Let's get into this a little bit. You know, I'm not even going to get into the match. By the way, Jim Ross did call this match, which I thought was very epic and very neat. For Jim Ross, he said on Twitter that was one of his greatest honors of his wrestling career, or at least his announcing career. He said on Twitter that it was an honor to call The Undertaker's final match. Undertaker made it official earlier this morning on Twitter when he tweeted out his retirement, saying that he has made a legacy out of his career, that he hopes to leave as a legend, and he said, rest in peace. That was it. So he's officially retiring as a wrestler with an incredible... one of the greatest streaks ever in sports history, where he had went 21-0 before being shocked by Brock Lesnar, getting a win over Bray Wyatt, and then losing to Roman Reigns. Let's talk about The Undertaker. Forget the match. I don't even want to talk about the match because there's really nothing to say there.
Undertaker, I'm old school now, okay? And you know I'm old school. I remember watching Mean Mark Callis when he came into the Memphis wrestling scene. And he was the master of, I think, the master of pain. And he went on to several different names and gimmicks throughout the years. And then when he was called into the WWE and they came up with a character, and I believe it was Vince that had the character of The Undertaker, he went with it. He changed that character quite a bit during the years. You know, the American Badass when he was on the motorcycle, loved it. The Dead Man stuff, the feud with Kane. If you wanted to put people on the mountaintop, you know, the Mount Rushmore
wrestling,
anybody that wanted to put The Undertaker there, I wouldn't argue with them.
You can't.
I mean, we did that ourselves just a couple of weeks ago. But from everything he has done inside the ring to what he has done behind the scenes, because if you read up on wrestling, you read the dirt sheets, or if you watch interviews like on the WWE Network, everybody speaks so highly of Mark Callis.
Oh, absolutely.
So sad to see him go. Wish he'd have won to let him to win on the but I understand why. Yeah. Roman Reigns won.
If you're a smart wrestling storyline kind of person, you understand why Roman Reigns needed to win that match.
Right.
Because winning for Undertaker would do absolutely nothing. He wins and walks out and it's over. Losing to Roman Reigns extends Roman Reigns' storyline and his career in a certain way. And whether fans liked it or not, it's not up for debate. It just had to be how it was. The laydown of the coat and the hat in the center of the ring was chilling.
It'll bring a tear to your eye.
It did. And I'm not an emotional guy. I don't get emotional.
I do.
I know. I know. Okay.
I cry.
Okay. Turn off the mic there.
Okay.
So I watched his first match, The Undertaker, WrestleMania, when he's against Jake the Snake. My dad, I guess there was a family party going on. My dad was switching through channels, and he got to wrestling, and he switched it because he hates wrestling. So I stayed downstairs, and I switched the channel back to wrestling, and I watched the WrestleMania match. And I fell in love with The Undertaker as soon as that. The dark entrance, the dark persona of it all was just amazingly well done by Mark. And to see, in fact, there was a photo tweeted out, and I retweeted it on Turnbuckle Trash. You can find us on at Turnbuckle Trash, but there's a photo that was tweeted out. It was cool. It had all his pictures of him from 91 to 2016.
Yeah.
And you see all his gimmicks, from being The Undertaker to being the Ministry of Darkness leader to being the American Badass to being back to The Undertaker. It all brought back just a fresh load of memories. But it's just unfortunate that, I mean, at 52, he just couldn't do as much. I mean, this was a 25-minute match, but it felt like an hour because there was just nothing going on. And it just felt like at times these wrestlers, Roman Reigns had energy like crazy, and Undertaker was just running out of steam as the match went on.
Well, Taker needs a hip replacement surgery, which is very, very serious. And but still, when you look at the career, and then you add the sadness of Jim Ross, just losing his wife last week in an auto accident.
Oh.
You know, we talk about how much we enjoy professional wrestling, and as we do this, we got to remember these guys, they have lives. They have families. And to lose your wife in an auto accident in less than a week, the industry, and I'm sure it was Vince that reached out to Jim. And they haven't had the best relationship over the years, but he reached out to Jim Ross. Somebody did in that company, and I believe it was Vince.
But you know, it had to come from Vince one way or another.
As an honor to not only Jim, but also his wife. Awesome stuff. Loved it.
Jim did an incredible job calling the match.
As always.
He didn't overdo it. He didn't get too dramatic. He let the scene, the story, and the retirement or at least the showing of retirement by The Undertaker tell the story itself. That's what Jim's so great at.
Right.
Is he lets the pictures and the scenes develop to let you to let that tell the story. He doesn't need to say words. He knows that doesn't that just overdoes it. Yeah, Jim Ross calling that match was amazing.
And as you and I work in the industry, do sports, I've never called a wrestling match live, you know, on TV
sure,
or anything.
Sure, sure.
But I've done lots of football games, basketball games, and you have too. There are times when you just shut up and you let what's on the TV or what's going on the field tell the story. And as much as I can, Chris Berman doing nothing when Chris Berman when he called the game, the baseball game.
Oh yeah.
And it was broke Lou Gehrig's record. Come on, help me.
Cal Ripken Jr.
Yeah, Cal Ripken Jr. When Cal Ripken Jr. broke the record, there was Chris Berman, who has a big mouth like we all do, but he was professional enough to let the pitchers tell the story. And that's what Jim Ross also did. Minimal talk, let the pitcher tell the story. Awesome stuff. Loved it.
In front of 75,245 wrestling fanatics and millions more worldwide, there was 5 title changes, 2 25-minute matches.
An 85-foot ramp.
An 85-foot ramp ends with The Undertaker calling it quits. WrestleMania 33, overall, you say, grading-wise, what?
As a grade overall, I'd give it an A, not necessarily an A+ because of the Cena match.
Sure.
But overall, how hard is it to go live programming for how many hours and to put on one heart-wrenching story after another, heart-wrenching story after another? You almost wear the audience out.
Yeah.
With that kind of long stuff.
Yep.
But it was great. My hats off to the WWE. Great event.
Yeah, with what they had to deal with and who they had, and I'd have to give it an A. And it's been a while since I gave WrestleMania an A. I got to be honest with you. It's been a long while.
I loved it.
Sources are saying that, and this is just rumors as of right now, that Undertaker will officially announce his retirement on SmackDown Live this Thursday. Whether that happens or not is still yet to be determined.
Tuesday,
SmackDown. That is just rumor as of right now. So whether he shows up on Monday Night Raw or Tuesday, we'll see. But I'm believing, from my hearing, it's going to be Tuesday at SmackDown, which is what a brand that he owned since 2007. He owned that brand.
Yeah,
and like you said, a lot of the wrestlers, in fact, there was a lot of tweets from wrestlers. Again, we retweeted those tweets on Turnbuckle Trash. Nikki Bella, Maryse, The Miz, Edge, Randy Orton, Ric Flair, Mick Foley. All these people, Stephanie McMahon, Triple H, all these people tweeted out some kind of a farewell thank you to The Undertaker, which all but solidifies that he is done. And of course, like we said earlier, this morning, about 7 o'clock, Undertaker officially announced his retirement from the WWE. And at 52 years old, that's a heck of a career.
Oh, man.
Incredible.
Yep.
This is Trashhead Talkback. Can't seem to talk about the things that bother me. Seem to be what everybody has. It's me. Trashhead Talkback.
WrestleMania's over. Oh boy, WrestleMania's over. And now all the crying, the whining, and the bitching is going to begin. But let me start with my bitching, because I've got a lot of it right now. Roman Reigns. Yes, nobody likes him anymore because Roman Reigns is being shoved down everybody's throat. So what you're telling us, WWE, and Zane Peterson, I am I'm going to agree with you for what you said on the Turnbuckle Trash fan Facebook page. You're right. So you're trying to tell us is that Roman Reigns is better than all the other wrestlers like Ric Flair, Triple H, The Rock, Stone Cold. I don't get it. That's not how The Undertaker should have went out. I'll tell you how The Undertaker should have went out. Okay, let's say The Undertaker wins the Royal Rumble. He comes out the next night on Raw and says, if I don't beat the champ, if I'm not the champion after WrestleMania, I'm retiring. And let's say that the champion was Goldberg or Bray Wyatt. He beats Bray Wyatt, goes back to SmackDown, and says, I've proven myself, I'm the champion now, but I don't want to be a part-timer. I have nothing else to give. I've given you 100% of myself to all the fans, and now it's time for me to go. Here's your championship. I'm leaving the champion, and that's it. And then the next time, you've got your next pay-per-view coming because you're going to have a tournament. Now, I didn't come up with that idea. JR came up with that idea a long time ago when The Undertaker first lost the WrestleMania. That's how he did it. But that would be a hell of an idea. Not this way. Didn't like it. Don't like it. A lot of people, well, I'm just going to quit the WWE Universe. Do you think they care? They don't. Do you think they're going to care with the WWE Network? They don't care. So what? Bye-bye. They don't care. Let's talk about something else real quick. Matt and Jeff Hardy. The Hardy Boys. They made it back again. Delete. But they didn't say delete. They couldn't do that. But did you notice what Michael Cole said? Things are about to get broken. And it was a good match. I didn't get to see all of it, but I got to see some. They haven't lost a beat. But I really don't think... You know, it's kind of weird. They come back their first night and they win the championships. I wonder where they got that from. Oh, yeah, Ring of Honor. Kind of funny, huh? The rest of the matches were okay. Goldberg, Lesnar, is all right. Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, that was not too bad. Triple H, Seth Rollins, it was a good one. The Andre the Giant Battle Royal, that was a shocker. I didn't think they were ever going to do what they did. But, look, this is my saying. If you're mad about because Roman Reigns won, it wasn't Mark Calloway's choice. I think he had some stipulations in it, but I don't really think that was his choice. But I just wanted to say this. To all the Turnbuckle Trash Heads, we all need to say this. Thank you, Undertaker. Thank you, Mean Mark Callis. Thank you, Master of Pain. Thank you, Punisher. Thank you, Texas Red. He had a lot of names. And if y'all really want to see the Undertaker's best work, go to YouTube in Memphis, Tennessee, the USWA. You'll find some of the best work from Mean Mark Calloway. Mark Calloway, the Master of Pain. He did some good stuff in Memphis. Ask David Denton. He'll tell you. Guys, the main event's over with, and so was WrestleMania. If you liked it, that was wonderful. I didn't get to see it, but I got to see some on YouTube, and I got to see some of the crying on the internet, and boy, is there a lot of crying on the internet right now.
Segment two of our Trash Head Talk Back, and we are joined on the telephone right now by someone who I've known for a long, long time. And, you know, and for sake of, you know, being open, this is actually my nephew, Kelly Denton. How you doing, Kelly?
How you doing, Uncle David? What's up with you?
Oh, man, we're just hanging on. I think that might be the first time in your life you've ever called me Uncle David.
It has been a while. I mean, when I was younger, I called you Uncle David all the time. Yeah. But, you know, by the time I started hanging out at the station in Missouri, you know, and everybody around you called you Dave, it just kind of became second nature to me to call you Dave.
I've been wanting to get you on our Trash Head Talkback segment on the Turnbuckle Trash for a long time. Glad we could work it out.
I'm glad too. I've been on the page since its inception, so it's, I guess it's just my time.
Let's talk a little bit about WrestleMania.
All said and done, I enjoyed pretty much everything went on. I mean, I watched the Hall of Fame, and Kurt Angle was just amazingly entertaining, as he always is. Mm-hmm. And the NXT takeover Saturday night, I enjoyed that. Nakamura gave it his last shot on NXT. Done came to SmackDown now, I guess, on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
But it was a good pay-per-view. But then you go to WrestleMania itself, and yeah, the show in and of itself, I had no problem with. It was very entertaining. Pretty solid matches all the way through. Personally, my favorite was AJ and Shane. Yeah, that really kind of took me back to the old days of wrestling back here in Memphis, back when we were watching it back in the day. It was a good old fashioned, reminded me of the Attitude Era type matches. And overall, I thought it was a good solid pay per view. So, I enjoyed it. It went on for 5 hours, which surprised me.
Yeah, it went on forever. So I got one question for you.
Yes, sir.
What about Cena, The Miz, Nikki, and Maurice, that tag team?
Oh, for goodness sake.
It was so weak.
I think we were discussing it yesterday. You had asked me what I thought the weakest match was, and I gave a different answer, and then you reminded me of that match because, quite frankly, it wasn't a match. I'd already forgotten about it, you know, figured that was going to be 10, 15 minutes of my life I'm never going to get back.
And to have the setup the way they did on SmackDown, some of the promo work that the two did, especially Cena and The Miz, was incredible. You know, I loved the promo work, but they get to the match, it was just dull.
They're both good on the mic. Both Cena and Miz, they're both good on the mic. And you get them together to do promos, and they're great. You bring their wives into it. It's just, I mean, nothing against the female wrestlers. Maurice hasn't been in a ring in years that I know of.
Yeah.
And it was just a setup. I mean, we knew who was going to win. We knew why they were going to win. We knew how it was going to turn out. And it was just a waste of time.
Well, you know, actually, I was watching the match. And when I'm watching a big pay-per-view like that, I take notes, you know, little things that just kind of that strike me while I'm doing that. And my note right before the match is John Cena is going to propose to Nikki.
Right.
And I just put it right down, piece of paper. I said, and there it was, you know. And more power to him. I mean,
I just didn't care.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of Cena. He wants to go over to Hollywood, but he can't act. His movies are horrible. The only thing I've seen him in that I really liked him in was Sisters, you know, the Tina Fey, Amy Poehler thing.
Yeah.
He was funny in that. Mm-hmm. But anything else, there was just, he's not an actor.
No. I wanted to remind everyone, if they're listening to this, that you also want to go over to Turnbuckle Trash and listen to our interview with the MK Bandit. He was actually in Orlando over the weekend. And Kelly, I don't know if you've listened to it. Yeah, he was there at WrestleMania.
I haven't been able to listen to it yet.
He said there were 96 wrestling-related events in Orlando outside of the WWE. It's a fascinating interview, so I think you'll really enjoy it. Well, let's talk about the one thing I know you wanted to talk about, and that was The Undertaker and that match against Roman Reigns.
Hey, well, let's start off and give credit where it's due. The match itself was really good. I mean, given, you know, Reigns' abilities, it was really good. Taker didn't go out like he went out with I mean, it took a lot more than Brock Lesnar's, you know, F5s to take him out this go-around. He took so many Superman punches after Superman punch after Superman punch. Yeah, and then he did that several bounces off both ropes and just, like, gave it that extra oomph, and that was what finally took Taker down. I give credit where it's due. The match was exciting. It was actually pretty good, except for the few botches that I, as far as I was concerned, were all Reigns. Mm. You know, I'm a huge Mark Calloway fan, always have since before he was The Undertaker. He was Master of Pain here in Memphis when I first saw him. And I was a huge fan then. And he takes off from USWA here, goes to NWA, but me and Mark Callis, or, you know, however he went, and he showed up with Ted DiBiase in WWE as the Undertaker. And I was like, well, I don't really care for the moniker. The gimmick doesn't really seem real, but it really worked for him, and I remained a fan the whole 25 years he was with WWF. And to see him go out the way he did with Roman Reigns, no. Reigns did not have that kind of clout. To me, did not have that kind of clout to be able to not just take out Undertaker at WrestleMania, but that's what actually retired him. And to quote Bray Wyatt, who I really thought got shafted at WrestleMania, anyone but you, Roman, anyone but you. I mean, really... What is he going to gain from this? He's already held pretty much every belt that WWF has to offer. I just don't know. Monday night's crowd, I really think, gave everybody what they needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
The audience hates him, and it's not just a random, oh, he's a bad guy wrestler, I don't like him, boo, 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 back like when Coffin was with USWA. People take this personally, and they really hate him. And I used to be a fan. I mean, I always called myself a fan, gave him the benefit of the doubt. But after this, I don't think I'll ever be able to consider myself a Roman Reigns fan ever again.
I don't know if anybody else noticed this, but you could see marks on both of their faces. They were pretty stiff shots both of them were taking.
I was making that comment when I was watching it. I kind of got the impression maybe Taker didn't exactly come to the determination that this was how he was going to retire. And to this person, he looked like he was genuinely pissed when he walked out of that ring, and they were fighting stiff as hell there the first, you know, 5-10 minutes of that. That's what I was really noticing, was how stiff they were.
Mm-hmm.
He was coming at him stiff. I've been a fan of Reigns for a while. He can't work the mic like he should be able to, and I think they've really pushed him way too far. He's got that look that they can.
Now, you had an interesting theory you were telling me about for Brock Lesnar and also for Roman Reigns. Why don't you tell
everyone
about your theory? Because I think this is brilliant. This might be one of the most brilliant comments you're going to hear on this pod. Here we go.
Okay, well, this is just a thought that I had. I mean, they've already started building up for when and if Reigns and Lesnar do come in. Lesnar's come out and said, look, you're not going to see me at Payback. You're not going to see me for a while. And so that just seems to me like, okay, he's done. His contract only specifies a certain amount of appearances. Now he's got the belt, and he's not going to come back. Okay, well, when he does come back, and they do, because that's the only thing he can get out of a win against Taker, is a shot at the title against Brock Lesnar. They've already been building it up since Monday night. These are the only two people who beat Taker at WrestleMania, and that's exactly how they're going to build that match. And whoever wins that and wins the belt can actually take claim to the yard. Now, I don't see Reigns going down to Lesnar, but that's just me. And if they do book it to where Lesnar goes down to Reigns, as far as I'm concerned, that's just 3 years of everybody's life that's just going down the drain, all the buildup for Lesnar to be the beast incarnate. But if they do it that way and Brock is going to take off for a little while anyway, then put Reigns with Heyman. Heyman takes over the mic just like he does with Lesnar. Lesnar never has a microphone except the couple of times that he does. Reigns cannot work a mic, but he's pretty good in the ring. Now, you put Heyman talking for him, and I'm sorry, that's gold. That is gold. And if they're going to have Reigns beat Lesnar, that's really the only thing they have to do is to send him with Heyman.
So wouldn't it be cool to have
abundantly clear?
Yeah, to have Paul do all the talking, and then just right at the very end, as Reigns is standing there, they hand him the mic, and he says,
"Believe that."
Actually, be good because I mean, when he says "believe that," okay, I kind of believe it, but everything before that, I don't know what to believe because so you get Paul Heyman doing the promos for him, just like he's been doing for years with Brock, and I just think they'd have gold there.
Yeah, I think it'd be good.
I really enjoyed the fact that above both world title belts, universal title, world title belt, above and beyond that, other than Taker and Reigns, you had the SmackDown Women's Championship, and I think that being pretty much second build main event for them, that's a good feather in the women's division's cap to be over and above both world title belts.
How do we get through to next year? That's the big thing in New Orleans.
Oh goodness, that's so close to me, and I'm not even going to be able to go straight down the river, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could do that. You just get yourself a little boat and go down that dangerous river.
We'll get a WrestleMania tugboat going.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
So
it was still WrestleMania, man.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, it was good, man. It was. I like I said, that's my one time of the year where you know I catch Raw and SmackDown when I can, and I read the highlights and I watch the clips and I stay really involved and up to date on the social media and on news and I read quite a bit at night about you know on Bleacher Report and things like that and what's going on but WrestleMania is my favorite time of the year.
Yeah, big shout out to at It's Still Real to Us, who gave us a shout out on Twitter saying that they love the podcast. They said you won't regret listening to it. So big shout out to those guys too.
Oh, that was nice of them. I follow Still Real to Us on Facebook, so that was cool.
Yeah, they gave us a big tweet, and hopefully some more people will be listening. We'll do that.
Cool. Well, gosh, Dave, it's over, man. Our big event for the year is over. Now we go back to crappy writing and glorified Raw pay-per-views and
but you know, hey, we've got other things we can talk about. We'll talk about what's going on with Impact Wrestling now and how they're improving their product. The people from Lucha Underground are getting ready for their second half of their season on the El Rey Network. Then you still got people, the independents like MK was talking about, doing their own shows and find out this independent scene. Watch some of the other guys. Watch ROH. Watch Lucha Underground. Loved hearing MK say when he said the wrestling business is alive and doing well.
Good. I'm glad. Well, that means that we have a hobby still.
That's true. That's awesome, man.
Well, thanks, Dave.
Dave, it's been a pleasure. This has been fun, and it's good to be with you today.
Thank you very much for coming in and,
oh, this
and
has been
doing
a blast.
This. And I know Zane would say the same thing.
Fans, by the way, that's my fault as well. I have not been on it like I should have been. We're still working on our tag team podcast. We'll get it done, and as soon as we do, we'll have your responses involved as well. We apologize for the delay. It's been chaotic, but with WrestleMania now coming gone, I think we can kind of reset and get back to it. But like I said, this has been fun. This has been a blast. So for Zane Peterson, Chris Evans, Dave Denton, I'm RJ Salveson.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair,
woo!
Idiots. They're stupid idiots.
It's like I told my wife, bless my family's heart. But I said, guys, this is the one time a year that dad gets to watch wrestling all the way through and not get interrupted. So I planted my butt on the couch and I watched WrestleMania all the way through.
So what? Bye-bye. They don't care.